You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
I couldn't believe when I'm starting looking at the death of Alexandria, a young girl, so much potential, so many things going for her. And the only one that knew her situation was her diary, her journal that she kept, and herself, and God, ending her life early. My name is Greg Lancaster, and John's joining me, John Ramos, and we're going to talk about this because there's so many of you out there right now that you're experiencing the same doubt. You're wondering, is there hope for tomorrow? Something's happened. It seems like nobody understands you. You try talking to them, and you realize it's a dangerous thing. You feel like talking to them. Or maybe you have children, and you're thinking everything's okay, but you're not really understanding what's happening in your child's life, right?
That's right.
That's what happened to Alexandria's parents, who shared their pain, their agony of a child that was such a great achiever. I mean, everything she got involved in, she wanted to be the best in it. And all of a sudden, one day, they find her. Their daughter, how old was Alexandria?
She was a senior in high school, due to graduate in 2019.
And they find her down the street, off the side of the road, and cold, as her father said. When I found it, the thing I remember the most, that when I touched my daughter, who I just saw a few moments ago, now her body was cold and she was all alone. That's the ultimate lie the enemy want to tell you, that there is no hope. Listen, it's appointed once for us to die. God created, you're creating the image and the likeness of God. God breathed life into you. And he says the moment that we pass from this life, we're instantly in the presence of God. Listen, we have to answer, say, God, I didn't know, the enemy lied to me. Well, I'm telling you now, right now, that God has a plan for your life, good plans in store for you. You may be mixed up in something. You may be convinced in your own mind that it's over. You may have girlfriends that have been, you know, treating you badly, talking bad about you on social media, saying hateful things on maybe an Instagram post, or literally ganging up on you in a classroom or school, and maybe other guys are treating you that way, or maybe you had a girlfriend situation where you broke up and things are rough, or maybe, you know, you were thinking this is going to be the person for the rest of your life, and just everything's changing. But listen, there's hope. There's something beyond today, and we're going to talk about it, but first we're going to talk about somebody who didn't know about this hope. And her name is Alexandria
Valoris.
Valoris. John, tell us a little bit about her.
Well, she was a young girl who was seemingly had a bright and wonderful future. And she was involved in all these academic clubs. Her teacher said she was probably one of the top percentage of students he's ever taught. And she was a very, very high achiever. But yet, like you said, she had this secret. She had this self-hate that she would write down in her journal. And her parents were completely shocked by this, you know, and they didn't even know this was happening, because she presented one look and she was happy to even to go to concerts and different events. But in solitude and quietness and in her journal, she was actually hating every single moment.
And she was a junior in high school. And if you saw her outside, she's like, everything's happening. She's achieving all these different places. Everywhere she showed up, she would do good.
She's trying to know what she has to do to get into a college, you know, placement, I believe MIT. So she has these long lists.
There was something happening based on what her parents were saying. She wanted to be a part of it, and she wanted to be at the top of it, to do well in that. But at the very same time, you know, she was 17 years old, and she's a junior in high school, a straight-A student, class officer. She's in robotics. She's a robotic whiz. I mean, everything... Yeah. It seems right, but yet there's this turmoil. And so many people, John, have that inner turmoil in their life. And the enemy's convinced them that there's nobody that cares, nobody that would really believe this. And
yeah.
I've gotten so deep, it's gotten so dark. I've convinced everybody that I'm good.
That's why one of the biggest lies, and you may hear this even in your own head, if I only had, fill in the blank, I would be happy, I would be more liked, my life would be better. And if we haven't seen this before, you can see this in Hollywood, you know, actresses and stars. I remember when Britney Spears was at the top of her entertainment and she made in excess of $100 million, she wound up shaving her head and had a meltdown before the whole entire world. It's just a lie. Only God can truly make you happy.
We're all human, and we're all experiencing issues. Things. And so you're not abnormal to say, I'm going through a difficult time. I don't know if I can make it. And I think about this. I mean, look what she's writing in her journal right here. I think I should plan my death. I need to work up, what's it say there? The nerve to do this. And I know that Dr. Jordan Peterson, he says, you know, to be able to take people serious. Once people start planning their suicide, they start contemplating what it's going to take. And one sign of it is, you know, working from my experience in law enforcement was when you start seeing people give things away that was important to them, they start kind of assigning their property. Listen, the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. If you made a choice to not lead your children in the light and take them into the light, or you're yourself's not walking in the light, or you just chose yourself, I don't want to hear about this Jesus stuff. I don't want to hear about you know, spending time with God. You know, I don't want to hear about, I'm talking about God. You have to understand, He's light. You know, He came into the world to shine the light of life. The darkness didn't comprehend Him, but some people who did, when they did, they received the light. And light gives us the ability to see things differently. Outside that light, it just looks dark in our mind, looks dark in our heart, our future looks dark, there's no hope. But Jesus brings that hope and that He's the creator of everything. He created everything that you see. He holds everything together. Think about that. And God so loves you that He gave His Son here to walk as we walk, to experience the darkness that we experience, but yet He did not become dark. He did not do the things that we've done. He didn't sin. So that He could empathize with us, that He knows what it's like to be depressed. He knows what it's like to cry out, even to the point of sweating what would be almost like drops of blood. He was so just crying out to God that we could save him from death. He just felt like, you know, death was coming over, and he's just saying no to sin. And so he did that so he could empathize with you. It means he actually, maybe your mom don't understand. Maybe your brother doesn't understand. Maybe your sister doesn't understand. Maybe your father doesn't understand. Maybe your husband or wife doesn't understand. But listen, God understands. We don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize or sympathize with your weaknesses. We have one that's been tempted in every way, so we can actually come to him and just spill our guts and go, listen, this is what's going on. This is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling like end of my life. I feel like it's over. And guess what? God loves you enough to interrupt your cycle right there and rescue you and just say, God, I need you in my life. I need you in life. I know that, and but when you see these signs, when you see them starting to plan, I mean, you got to begin to realize, you know, that, and I thank God for her parents that are willing to share their pain with us so that we can share with others to be able to say, you know, this does not have to be your future. And think about the pain that you might be in right now. I know we're going to break in just a moment, but think about this. There's another pain that happens if you make this choice. It's the pain living of others that love you, living with the choice that you made forever. Every day they have to live with that reality. And you don't ever get over it. Every day you're just totally just broken. What could I have done? What could I have said? And you would probably tell them, oh, you didn't, there's nothing. But you're not there to tell them that. So the enemy beats them up and begins to cause that. Listen, why don't you just begin to talk about it? We get back from this break. We're going to break it down a little bit more to help you begin to contemplate. And it's like, you know, through her life and her parents' willingness to share her life, you're going to have hope. You're going to have hope. When you think about people that are struggling in their life and what they're journaling, I mean, thank God people are beginning to journal. Sometimes you can work things out. But what she was writing in her journal, I mean, look at this 49 and 53, where she was saying specifically, you know, I am lost. I am so, I'm so hopeless. I'm so worthless. This is a straight A student.
I'm so lazy. Unmotivated.
But you'll find out, though, people who have a performance acceptance syndrome, they're working hard not because they feel like they are something. They're working hard because they feel like they're nothing.
Yeah.
They're trying to achieve something to make themselves feel better. And that never works. But what you can have is that if you are lost, that's why they say that we are saved, that you're found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. That you can actually accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Everybody's lost outside of Him. It's not unique for you being lost. It's actually understanding that we're all lost outside of Jesus Christ. And so having that lost feeling, because you would feel like something wrong with me because I feel lost, and so many people do, maybe that's you. But listen, we shared our stories, how we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life at meetmyfather.org. You see it on your screen right there. And you see, we're just like you. We needed forgiveness. We needed a Savior. And I want to go back. I want us to look right now when I think about her life. John, just introduce what CBS is saying with their parents sharing her story.
Well, they did a story. CBS did an amazing story where they interviewed Alexandra's parents. And you're going to see a heartbreaking tale of two parents that didn't even see this coming. A straight-A student, as we mentioned before, a student who had so many things going for themselves, a student who was a part of some of the most elite clubs in the school, trying to get into MIT, and yet to her friends, to her mother, to her father, she had this one happy, you know, side of her. But in reality, what was real, what she wrote in her journals, was nothing but failure, hopelessness, and negative thoughts about herself to the point that she took her own life. I want you to hear in her parents' own words what they had to say about their daughter. Take a look.
Final entry in a young girl's diary.
The night was beautiful. I saw the moon. I saw the stars.
The home video will look so familiar to so many parents. The sweet little girl singing and dancing her way to her teen years.
Alexandra,
where she's recognized for achieving outside the home.
And please consider me for the National Honor Society.
And thoroughly cherished inside it.
Okay. Like, this was awesome, Alexandra. She was such a happy girl.
Happy birthday to you.
And so motivated and so just full of life.
Dear Alexandra.
But familiar will turn to terrifying. When parents hear the whole story of Alexandra Valores. Just weeks after a family ski vacation,
give a smile,
this 17-year-old high school junior, straight-A student, class officer, and robotics whiz,
not too bad,
made her bed, tidied her room, and walked to a highway overpass in Grafton, Massachusetts.
I leaned over the embankment and looked down, and I saw her.
Dean Valores. Alexandra's father.
I was just hoping for warmth. Do you know what I mean? But there was no warmth that was done. Then all the cars kept driving by. My daughter's on the side of the road. Nobody saw this. And she's cold.
Nearby, Dean and his wife Alicia found two journals in their daughter's belongings. Her final entry was written just hours before her death.
The ghost of you.
While listening to a playlist she entitled Goodbye.
I'm inside out. You're underneath. Don't let me be gone.
I think we had this one open when we were at the bridge.
And it was just like phrases and words and I'm not good enough. I'm worthless. I'm like, these are things that we've never heard. There was just so much joy in everything she did. And it doesn't match what was in that journal.
200 pages of self-loathing and despair written in Alexandra's own hand.
You are broken.
You are a burden. You're lazy. You're a failure.
She was a highly motivated achiever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how she felt inside.
Such a sharp and confusing contrast to who they thought was their happy oldest child, strumming her way through adolescence and still talking to her parents.
Yeah. You're having all these great conversations.
Great conversations. It just doesn't seem possible, but it's what reality was because it's written right here.
With teen suicide at a 40-year high for young women Alexandra's age, and now the second leading cause of death for 15 to 24-year-olds of both sexes, it is this disconnect that most haunts Dean and Alicia Valores. The girl who seemed to love it when her parents took her to a concert by the Scottish rock group Biffy Clyro went home and wrote, "I hated it. I just wanted to be alone."
I just want to tell you right now how grateful I am for the parents of Alexandra that you would share this with us all.
Yes.
That we could share it with as many as possible so that they would know that there's hope. That they would know there's hope because truly, it's a 40-year high now for suicide amongst teens. And it's a second leading cause of death for people of the age 15 to 24. And we did a program recently. You're talking about people, how they're addicted to social media, what people think about them. They're banking everything on their profile and how people are accepting them. But the day that they're not accepted online, They think their life is over because they banked everything on it, their business, their future, their friendship, their subscribers, their likes. You know, do people like me now? I've accomplished this. Do they like me now? I've accomplished this, which is unrealistic. The truth is that we got to have people around us that like us for who we are, everyday life. And people are living such isolated lives now. I mean, even in a family, you may have a family of five people, but all five of you may have digital devices that you spend all your time looking at it for entertainment, playing games, messaging people who are not in your family. So you really don't have what God intended for you, which is actually eating together, talking and communicating together. You know who knows more about your family, if that's you, than anybody other than God? It's the probably 90 people that program at Silicon Valley, all these programs, because these are companies that own it, they're corporations. They watch everything you do, they track your behaviors, they decide how much time you're gonna look at this thing, because that means they can put ads in front of you. It's Silicon Valley. It's what's happening in Silicon Valley. The leaders of Twitter, Facebook, Google, all the social media, Snapchat, probably five of them just came out since I just talked. But they were actually deciding how much time you're gonna look at this thing. They want you to stay in there. But your value is gonna be found by you stop and look to the person next to you and touch them and allow them to touch you. Learn that love and relationships about interacting, you know, communication's a two-way street. You know, you talk to somebody and they actually understand you based off their own experiences. It's called interpersonal communication. And they whatever they find and determine from what you said to them, they talk back to you. And what you'll find out quite often, they're missing what you're under. They don't understand what you're talking about. It's not because they're wrong. It's because they have not had your own experiences. They don't have that same vocabulary of experiences that you have. What you got to do is say it again in a different way. Try to explain it in a different way, because part of healing you is hearing you. And so don't give up on talking to people. Just try to talk to them in a different way.
I think one of the things we got to look at today is the technology and the role it plays in so many people's lives. Today, with social media platforms, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, they're all about sharing these quote-unquote happy moments, these amazing, you know, opportunities that people have. And yet there's so many people that are dying on the inside, and they're trying to measure their lives by what they see on a social media platform. And the truth is that no one's life is all that exciting. The truth is that everyone has ups and downs. And it just reminds me the importance of taking the time to disconnect from all these digital distractions. And like you were saying, engage family members, engage friends on one-on-one meaningful conversations where you don't talk about stuff, but you talk about each other.
But John, you know, that could be scary to folks that have never had a conversation with somebody.
We got to start it at some point.
Continuing that conversation that I was having was, okay, you got to continue to talk to them in different ways until they actually tap into it with their own experiences. But the biggest thing, if you want to have people that listen to you, you need to listen to them. You see, if you love somebody, you listen to them. And if you don't fully understand what they're saying, it could be because you hadn't had the same experiences. You could say, could you say that again? You know, can you explain that to me again? But you have to care about them. You have to care about what's happening in their life. It's like, if I want people to care about me, and so many people do, they're like, nobody cares about me. We have to ask ourselves, have we ever cared about them? And let me tell you this, outside of that, God has always cared about you. People are going to always fall short. People are always going to fall short. They're always going to fall short. Everybody, we're people that are fallen people, and people are not going to be God to you. They're not going to be always omnipresent, always there, but God will always be there for you. I want to encourage you right now. You might have been talking to people and calling out to them, and they're not responding to you. Maybe you messaged somebody on some sort of instant messaging. You've done all these different things, but nobody's responding to you, to your cries for help. But let me tell you right now, God will respond. He'll respond. All you have to do is call out to him, just cry out to him. Even Jesus, he's the Son of God here on earth before he was paid the price of death, burial, and resurrection. He says that he cried out to God who could save him from death. So it's not wrong to cry out. And God wants us to cry out. Acts chapter 17, he says he's always right there. He's never far from you. He's waiting for you to reach out to him. All this stuff that's happened in your life, the enemy's been trying to use it to separate you from God. But God's saying, no, it's there so you can actually recognize me and reach out to me. And if you'll reach out for me, I'm not far from you. I will meet you right there where you are. And not only that, contact us, write to us. You see our information on the screen. You are not alone. I don't care if you're in your room right now by yourself and you've convinced everybody that you're okay. Listen, if you're in your room alone for long periods of time, you're not okay. That's not a way that God's designed you. God's designed you to be social and to get connected. And there's one thing that we do. You know, I think about this, and we have a driving force of wanting to be the church, you know, at the VFN Dream Center, Vine Fellowship Network. We're walking this thing out called family. God's called us to be family. Not just showing up for somebody to throw a big concert for you to look forward, and everybody's looking forward, nobody's connecting to anybody, but God, think about Jesus. Jesus sat around and he ate and he drank and he fellowshiped and he laughed and he cried and he spent all this time. He showed us how to fellowship. We do that, or we seek to do that at Vine Fellowship Network. If you want to find out more about how to be the church instead of just going to church, and that's what you need. You need to be the church. You need to be involved with a few other people who are the church, who'd want to live their life with you together in Christ. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Maybe that's for you. Listen, God's designed us to be the church, to be healthy, to laugh, to cry together, to dream together. And truly, you can be in a crowd and be alone. T.D. Jakes says this, and we got to go, but T.D. Jakes says, dear God, you know, if I have to be lonely, please let me be alone. And what he's saying is this, is the fact is there's not a lonelier feeling than to be in a crowd and totally disconnected. And that's a lot of folks, and maybe that's you. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org and say maybe that's for you. And I want to pray with you right now. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. It's not over. All this virtualness and digital world is not real. It's not a real thing. A reality is right now where we're talking right now. This is real. God laid on our heart to start many years ago VFN Television through VFN Kingdom Business. Why? Because he wanted you and I to have this talk right now and to communicate and to connect, to say there's hope in Jesus Christ. I want to pray with you. Father God, I just pray right now for that one right now that's struggling right now, debating. They already made their plan, their journal. They already wrote down everything the enemy said about them. They're getting an agreement with. I break that agreement in Jesus' name. I speak life over you. I command suicide to go. I speak hope and a future and life over you in Jesus' name. I speak family over you. I break that mindset that you have to live an isolated life. You're going to be together. I call you into a family in God, in Jesus Christ. Lord, encounter them where they are. Ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if that's you, write to us. Comment below. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. Call us. We want to be able to hear from you. Lord, we just pray right now. Dear God, we come against the spirit of suicide and command it to go. We ask you, dear Lord, end abortion. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And listen, it is this easy. Love God. Love others. And lead others to do the very same thing. Guess what? It will be forever changed in your life. God bless you. God loves you, and we love you.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.